Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Heidi.
Welcome back, Heidi.
Thanks for having me back, and thanks for having me beyond just hump day. We've made it over the hump.
Well, one day, Pat, one day plus hump day.
One day plus hump day.
One day plus hump day. And we're on minute 64. This minute begins with William Dunlow saying, William Dunlow, into a computer, and ends with Dunlow almost seeing Ethan while he's knocking back a couple of Tums and acids. So William's not having too good of a stomach time right now. His tummy time is not doing too well.
No, it is not.
This is another almost completely silent minute. Heidi, you've done it.
I've done it. It's totally fine, because what I did was I looked up a little bit about the history of Tums.
Oh, wow. Well, let's move right to that. William Dunlow does take some Tums at the end of this minute because he's got a little stomach ache. So let's hear.
Well, it's short, it's sweet, but James Howe, the man who invented them, passed away in 2012, and part of his obituary reads, Mr. Howe's, that he was a farm, let me try this again.
He's a what?
Mr. Howe was a pharmacist. In 1928, he invented Tums to treat his wife's indigestion. Commercial production began 2 years later. So basically, he futzed around with some stuff, found something that worked for her, and then put it into production. Most of the world's supply of Tums comes from the plant in downtown St. Louis at 320 South Broadway, which turns really? Out billions of tablets per year. Yeah.
Huh.
I just thought it was trippy.
I did not know that. Hashtag Tums. Hashtag Tums time.
Yeah. Tums. We need to find something good there. Tums time? Is that what you said?
Tums time.
Tums time.
Hashtag Tums facts.
Yeah. And then I just saw a little blurb from Ad Age. And they were talking about the iconic jingle of tum to tum tum tums, and how it's a dramatic sound it's like the show Dragnet, you know? And I thought, oh yeah, it was very iconic.
It's also a little bit Mission Impossible.
Tum 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 tums, tum 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 tums,
tum tum tum.
Diarrhea, diarrhea. What are we talking about?
William Dunlow, that's what we're talking about.
Tumslow.
William Tumslow.
This is all about William Dunlow, this whole minute. He walks into the room, walks into the outer room, his wife, Mrs. Dunlow.
Mrs. Dunlow.
Shirley, to her friends. Shirley Dunlow opens the door for him, and he walks in, and Ethan Krieger's had to yank Ethan halfway back up. That's got to be hard. He pulls him back up halfway, and Ethan's just standing. Ethan's just hanging there motionless.
Just floating there.
There's this great shot of the floor deactivating, and I'm wondering if you guys know how they did that.
I do not.
And I'm not saying that coyly like I know. I have no idea how they did that.
I'm assuming that the floor was lit.
Yeah.
And they just turn off the lights, you know? Because that's what it looks like.
Do you think it's lit from below?
Yes.
Or do you think
yeah.
it's lit from above?
Yeah, because you can see it as the lights go off. It's like, all of a sudden, the lights in the room come on, and the lights in the floor go off, because you can see them slowly fading off.
Yeah, they've got track. There are track lights on the side of the room
that are off until the floor goes off. Until the floor goes off, then they turn on. But you can slowly see the floor, like the lights disappearing if you go frame by frame.
That is a very cool effect, and I bet this set was very expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To have a working light floor that goes all the way down, because when William Dunlow's standing on it, it is black.
Yeah,
it's not like you can see the light underneath or see through it. It is opaque.
Yeah,
opaque. Which one's the one? Yes.
Yeah, opaque.
It's opaque. You can't see through it.
No.
Right? All right. It's opaque.
Yeah. Before they do that too, I was just wondering. It looks like Dunlow's wife has a small microwave on her desk. I mean, it's probably supposed to be some sort of tech.
Oh, yeah, it does. It's probably monitor.
It's a monitor, but it looks like a microwave.
So she warms up his sandwiches.
William, you're in there all day. It's my only friend.
Yeah, in fact, that whole, you know, room that you know, he's in with her before he goes in, it just has that computer color, right? The whole room looks like, it almost looks like they've been shrunk down into, like, the components of a computer.
Well, we've actually seen that before. That's actually a closed circuit TV. It's got two monitors in it, and it is the hallway in down from the left and the right side of this room. So, but it definitely looks like a microwave from the back. Yeah. You know, now that I've been watching this more and more, I thought William Dunlow had it bad. I think she has it worse.
Yeah, I agree, man.
Because he's at least doing cool spy CIA stuff.
She's just sitting there monitoring, you know, she's like security guard.
She's his security guard.
Exactly.
Because he's one of the only people that can get in there. I'm sure there are other people that can get in.
Kittredge, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure high-level people can get in. The longer we stayed in CIA headquarters, the sadder CIA headquarters.
Yes, it is. It's very sad.
I'm sure I'm being put on a list right now because of the things I'm saying about the CIA and their headquarters.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, that when he goes to do this thing that now we're pretty familiar with in movies, which is the eye scan, is that he really has to, like, bend down quite a bit. Like, he has to squat. Like, it's things like that, I think, are usually built for, you know, it's kind of like cars, you know, things are usually sort of built still as if they're always around the height of the average man. And so I'm kind of surprised. This looks like it's more at the height of her.
Yeah, it's not not William Dunn High. It's William Dunn Low. Yeah, Mrs. Dunlow comes over and opens up the door for him, and he walks in. We see Krieger make horrible lifting noise. He still should be completely quiet. He's trying to be completely quiet in that vent. And Ethan kind of goes like a bat and puts his arms around himself and just kind of sits there. In the book, they talk about this because when it happens, this is when Ethan starts to worry and second guess everybody. They needed something to write into the book. So what they did was they created this section where when he's waiting while William Dunlow is standing underneath him. Mm-hmm. In the book, they say that he questions Claire about how much of the drug they had put into the drink, whether or not Krieger could be, his life right now is in Krieger's hands and he's never worked with him. So he's questioning his whole team inside of his head right now during this scene, which is a pretty funny situation to be in. It's like, wouldn't you just be worried if the guy's going to look up or not?
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he's also, at this point, he's thinking about how much time he'll have to go to jail for if he gets caught. It's 35 years. That's what they say in the book. He's like, he's put his life in Krieger's hands. Otherwise, he's going to get 35 years and Kittredge is going to get his spy.
35 years just for being a traitor?
That really? Seems low.
That seems low. I mean, I've heard pot dealers get more than that, you know? So
yeah. I don't quite know how this this book is terrible. So,
you know, what's interesting about that shot of Krieger as he's pulling up, it's a split diopter shot again, which is weird.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, right there, the wall itself is in focus, as is he. I know this comes into play later, but it's kind of funny that that they've got it so close. I mean, so far ahead before they actually use it.
Mm.
Well, I bet when they set up this shot, they had the split diopter on the camera.
Yep.
And so they just shot this, and then the next scene with his little friend.
So I'm not familiar with that. That's what makes it so that you can focus in two different spots.
It's like a bifocal lens for the camera, basically.
It's a physical trick they put on they put the lens on the camera and has like a little cutout, like half moon section. So part of it's already in focus, and then the other part focuses things that normally would be out of focus.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I actually saw one the other day in The Last Jedi. I was impressed. I hadn't seen one in a theater in a long time because of all the stuff being shot digitally, but it was shot on film, so. There is one in a very cool moment in the film, and I just hadn't noticed it until I was in the theater the other day, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, there's a split diopter shot.
Oh, cool. I'll have to keep an eye out
for
that.
And it's done with a CGI character, too, so it's even cooler.
Awesome.
Well, the Tums are taken out of, it's kind of sad that William Donlow has Tums in his briefcase.
Yeah, I was going to say, he must not have a strong stomach anyway.
I bet you that briefcase is full of a lot of crazy stuff because he's been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like got his own little batch of, it's his little William Donlow, you know, away, you know, hideaway sack.
Or maybe he's like one of those guys who's allergic to everything.
Yeah, he's like, got my EpiPen in here. Let's see, what else? Got my Claritin. My Robitussin.
Yeah, one of the things we noticed when we were doing Spinal Tap Minute was that one of the characters, their manager, Ian Faith, we'd never noticed this before until, you know, looking a minute at a time, but that at a certain point we see him in one of the hotel rooms and his kind of briefcase, or maybe it's his suitcase, is open and there's a Rubik's Cube in there. And it's such a such a nice little, I mean, it was one of those things that we noticed too, is like, oh, this is a movie that's a parody, but it's shot in the same era that it's taking place in, you know, it's not a throwback. Yeah. So nowadays that's like a quick cue for people that, oh, this is something that's supposed to be back in the 80s. There's a Rubik's Cube, but this one was actually shot in the 80s as well. So it's just a fun little touch.
That is.
Well, unfortunately, we don't get to see inside of William Dunlow's briefcase.
Well, he did put his newspaper in there, though.
He did.
Yeah. Which I find funny.
I'm surprised he didn't put it in the trash can, but oh well, maybe he's going to read the rest of it later.
There's still an article in there he hasn't finished.
He's doing the Mad Libs in there.
I was reading Doonesbury. Haven't gotten to finish Bloom County yet, so I'm going to put this in my little briefcase. Go on with my day. William Dunlow's voice has changed. Have you noticed, Chris?
Yes, it has. I was going to say it was a very different voice earlier.
It's gotten a little nerdier because I can't remember what I do from week to week. So. This is now William's voice. That's where this minute ends. This minute ends with a POV of Ethan looking at the monitor he'd set up, and now he's staring down at William. So that's it. Probably going to have to dig for our tech of the week.
Oh,
tech
no, I got mine already.
Chris, you can go first.
Yeah, I'm going with the floor.
Ha! I love it.
The floor, man. That floor goes from white to ink black in like seconds. It's awesome.
It is a cool looking floor. It's one of those, I don't remembering the floor until I've watched it minute by minute. Now I appreciate this set.
And it's one of those things that people nowadays go, oh, it's just CGI. But no, that's real.
Right, and that's what's crazy is that none of this was done digitally. It was all a real practical floor that lights up all the way to brilliant white and then back down to complete black.
Yeah.
Heidi, what about you?
I think I'm going to go with the Tums.
You knew it.
Yeah, I mean, there's, again, like the sugar dispenser, it's something that works. It's reliable and... you know, the packaging for how you dispense it hasn't changed much. It's easy to get out of the container. It comes in a variety of good flavors and some gross flavors that I hate. And yeah, it's a winner.
Yeah. They have great flavors like chalk. Like chalk.
Fruity chalk.
And chalk. Chalk.
If I never have to eat another Tums again, I will be happy. I had to eat them for 2 years, 5 years straight because of my kidney disease.
Oh, wow.
And I'm done with it now. So I'm so grateful.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds brutal.
It was like with every meal, too. With every meal. Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh. Well, I'm going with the floor also.
Yes, as you should.
I do have a question about this minute. I think this is one of those things that we come across in almost all of these movies, right? Is that there's some security person, there's some security thing they have to bypass. It does seem weird to me that he has to both... have his, you know, put his face in front of that eye grabinator, and then also have a woman walk around from behind a desk and open the tape, like open the door. Like it seems like the door would be able to just open on its own? Or?
Well, it has a double card.
Oh, opening. It's like a double so card authentication out. Situation. Okay.
Correct. So it's keeping you from, so if she left,
gotcha.
No one else could get in.
Okay. So
now you would think that this is being, you know, the CIA and their Mission Impossible Force is, the Impossible Mission Force is part of this with the masks and the voice sounding the same, that they would have some other thing to do instead of just a voice and retinal identification.
Two things that the IMF can mimic exactly. are eyes and voices, and they use both of those as security.
In retrospect, when you watch the second movie, this whole sequence doesn't make any sense comparatively, because if they just used the tech from the second movie, then he could just walk in and literally just take the Noctilus out.
Yeah, he could just have dressed up like William Dunlop.
Exactly. Claire could have knocked him out. He could have put the mask and the voice on and then walk in and out. Eyeglass, you know, got contacts, and they would have no one would have been the wiser.
Yeah, there is a quantum leap in technology between this movie and the next. But we're not talking about the next one right now. We're talking about this one.
Well, I'm going to talk about the next one just to give you some growth.
But we're not talking about this one anymore because we've run out of things to talk about.
Yes, we've hit tech of the app. We're done.
We're going to wrap up with a quick recap of how you can get in touch with us. You can get to us on Twitter at Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible, on Facebook at The Impossible Minute Force, and on Instagram at Minute Impossible. It's going to be our last day with Heidi tomorrow. I'm really excited to talk about this and wrap up this week. Heidi, we'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Great. Until then, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Heidi.
This minute will self-destruct.